evening. It's good to see you tonight, and it's great to be with you. Uncle Dave just seemed to happen to call me at a kind of a bad time. Of course, I don't know when a good time is, but I just got in from a trip and was a little on the tired side, and he wanted to know if I could come to Blaisdell tonight. I told him I'd get back to him, and it didn't slow down a whole lot, so yesterday afternoon I called just to find out for sure if he still thought I should come. And he said I was announced, so here I am. It has been quite busy. We really appreciate your prayers for Gospel Folio Press. Things are going quite well. We do have some new books on the go, and we're working them through the process of formatting and editing and proofreading and trying to get them ready to go to print. And there's lots on the go. My wife is on the East Coast right now with my daughter, and they're working on the 2005 Choice Reading Calendar. We're running a little bit behind schedule on the production of that, and so they're doing the inputting and the proofing and editing of the Choice Reading Calendar for 2005. It's hard to believe that we're working so far in advance, but if it doesn't get to print by May, it doesn't get out on time for the fall. So anyway, there's lots on the go. We appreciate your prayers as we try to continue to work on that ministry. We believe that the printed page is very important, and it gives the Lord's people time to read the words that are put together, dealing with Scripture and dealing with truths that we believe is very important. We are not just another bookstore. There's lots of bookstores around. You can go to Borders and Chapters, and there's all kinds of bookstores around that you can buy lots of books, but that's not what we're all about. What we are about is we're trying to provide good Christian literature to the Lord's people that we believe will build them up and encourage them in their Christian pathway. We're living in a world that there seems to be so much against us. We know the Lord is for us, and we're on His side, and we're on the winning team, and we've read the last chapter, and we know how this is all going to end. But as we work away day by day, sometimes it does get discouraging. So we're trying to provide good Christian literature for believers all over the world that might help them in their Christian pathway. And I think I mentioned the last time I was here that we did start something new. We started the GFP Charitable Donation Fund, and it's just been kind of exciting watching what the Lord is doing with that. And we use that fund to supply outreach work and support camp work and new assemblies that are being planted in different places where they find it difficult to purchase the literature, and so we will supply them that material at no charge. And so it's just been kind of exciting to watch what the Lord is doing with that. Last year was a big year for that, and we look forward to what He's going to do in this coming year. So I think that's all I'll say about Gospel Folio. Continue to pray for us. I must confess I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. And I don't have a sermon for you tonight. I don't have a written message. And so it won't go into print. What I want to share with you, though, is just something that I've been enjoying. And I guess sometimes that's the best thing to do, isn't it? Just to kind of share something that we're enjoying ourselves. In the last few days, when I say a few days, I'd say about 10, I have spent a lot of time at different tables. Yeah, that's right, just a table and a chair. I've been sitting at a table in the kitchen, and I've been sitting in a nice dining room when the host was entertaining. I have been at a display table, and where materials were displayed. And I have spent quite a bit of time at a boardroom table. And of course, when you get to the boardroom and you look in through the door, it's usually the chairman that you take a look at to see how you think things is going to go. I've been in several restaurants and various tables, some white tablecloths and some just a bare table. And you never really know what you're going to get on those tables. So anyway, I was just thinking about my travels and spending some time at tables. And, you know, at the kitchen table, it's very family-oriented. It's convenient. It's the place where you can enjoy conversation with the family. And then when you get to the dining room table, it's a little more formal, but it's still the place where you can enjoy happy fellowship one with another. And the dining room table is, well, some of us don't need to spend quite as much time there. The boardroom table we all dread because we never know what's going to happen at the boardroom table. And so there's usually major decisions that's being dealt with, and major decisions are being made. And you're waiting for the chairman to move you from one item on the agenda to the other. So when I started to think about tables, my mind went to some tables in Scripture. So I'm going to take you on a pretty fast tour to some tables in Scripture. And the way I want you to look at it is we're just kind of dropping in at this home or this house or this place, and there's a table there. And I want you to think about who's at the table. And I want you to use your sanctified imagination as to what you think the conversation might be at that table. Now, I got you all thinking. Some of them that I have in my mind, I don't know for sure if it even says that they're at the table, but we can assume that they are because of what Scripture really says. What started me off on this was Psalm 23 and verse 5. And, of course, we have the shepherd there, and we have David thinking about the shepherd, and he really appreciates the Lord as his shepherd. And that's the way he starts us off. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when he was comparing the Lord and his shepherd with all the other shepherds that he knew, as he was a shepherd looking after his sheep, he was so happy and so proud that the Lord was his shepherd. And he was the one that knew all his needs, and he was the one that could meet all his needs. But when we get down to verse 5, there's kind of an interesting statement made there by a shepherd. And it says, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies." Thou preparest the table before me. As David would pull up to the table as a shepherd, I wonder what he was going to serve. And I wonder what the conversation would be. And it says, in the presence of his enemies. So obviously he was going to try to give them some courage for what would lay ahead. So I thought about Psalm 23 a little bit just because I guess I felt I needed the touch of the shepherd myself. And then my mind went back to another occasion, and we'll start off back there. So we'll start in Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 43, but if you go to several of the chapters before then, and I'm not going to go into all the detail, we have the story of Joseph. And I don't know about you, but Joseph is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. When you think of Joseph as the little boy who left the father's home, and he went out to see how his brothers were doing, following the instructions of his father, and then we see how he was treated by his brethren and how he was put in the pit and how he was sold to the travelers and sent down into Egypt, and he wound up in Potiphar's house, and then the false accusations that was against him and the character of Joseph and how he dealt with that situation. And then we have Joseph in the prison, and then we have him promoted when he gets out of the prison and he was into the palace. But that's not what I'm thinking about as much as the brethren that were coming back because of the famine. And the brethren came back to Joseph. Joseph, by this time, had been quite a while in Egypt. He'd gone through the experiences of Potiphar's house and the prison. And now he was in the palace, and he had gained the respect of those in authority for the land. And Joseph was given a place of authority. Those that honor the Lord, he will honor. And so Joseph had some messages for them at that time, and that was about the famine that was coming and how they should prepare for that. And of course, then, as God always works out his circumstances, then there was the famine in Canaan where Dad lived and where the brothers lived. and yet there was food in Egypt because of Joseph's provision. Okay, that's the background. Now we have the brethren who have come down, and they've got some food, and they've gone back, and then they come back again the second time, and of course we know about what happened. They got the cup in the bag with the food, and then there was money in the cup, and they had a guilty conscience because they didn't know how it got in there, and they thought that when they get back to the land again, they're going to be accused of stealing all this. But the part that I want to get at is in chapter 43, and you know, you're reading down along 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. And of course, Benjamin was the younger brother of Joseph. And then you get into verse 15, and the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Now you see the picture so far. Joseph, after spending all his time in Egypt, he looked like an Egyptian. He spoke their language. He was dressed like an Egyptian. There's no way that these brethren had any way of knowing him. And he was going to speak through an interpreter, so that would confuse them even more. And so the brethren are standing before this man, this dignitary, this one with the power and authority and the possessions, the provisions that they wanted. And then you come down to verse 16, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay." I'm assuming they were going to kill an animal. "And make ready for these men. For these men shall dine with me at noon." And then, of course, you read down a little bit further, and they come into the house, and the steward of the house brings them in. And he has everything all ready. He gives them water to wash their feet. And he brings them in. And in verse 24, "And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet. And he gave them provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph." Joseph came at noon. "For they heard that they should eat bread there." And then, of course, we could take time to read more, but I'm not going to. We know the story. And so they were getting ready. Joseph comes in. The steward and the butler has the meal on the table. And Joseph brings in his brethren, or the steward brings in his brethren, and sits them at Joseph's table. Now, we're not sure who all was at the table. We know one thing. We know Joseph was there. And we know that Joseph placed them at the table, and he placed them by age. And that shocked them. How would this man know the youngest, and how would he know the one that was in the middle, and how did he know the one that was the oldest? Really shocked them. Not much wonder, because Joseph just happened to be their brother. And so anyway, he sits them at the table in order of their age. And then they start to get served. Now, your sanctified imagination, what do you think the conversation was like? We're given little bits and pieces. Joseph says to them, "And is your father yet alive? The old man that you spoke about earlier on the previous trip, is he still alive? Is he doing well?" And of course, they're likely wondering, what's Joseph's interest in our dad? Well, we know what the interest is. Just happened to be Joseph's dad too. And then the conversation will go from one thing to another, and one thing to another, and one thing to another. But how come the youngest got the most? How come Benjamin got five times as much to eat than any of the rest of them? Joseph had it all set up, didn't he? He knew exactly what he was going to do. And they had the conversation while they were having their meal. We're not told all about that conversation. But there is one thing we are told that I find is very touching. He asked all the rest to leave the room except him and his brothers. And then Joseph said, "I am Joseph." What a moment. What a time that must have been. What do you think that the brothers thought? What do you think that went through Joseph's mind? So we have a little visit at Joseph's table. Kind of an important time, isn't it? Important as to who owned the table. important for the occasion of what was going to happen at that table. Not necessarily the food that was served, but it was an extremely important time for those that were at the table with Joseph. Now, if you want to think of another one, like I told you, I'm going to do a real fast trip here, and maybe it'll give you something to think about after the meeting, and you might want to go back to some of these and spend a little more time and think about the details and enjoy your imagination like I did. So we just finished a little tour into Joseph's house. I imagine it was pretty nice. I imagine it was well decorated. It was very nice and clean. And when Joseph gave the orders and said that he was going to have company, I'm sure that they made sure that everything was ready. And I think that that table was well decorated and well loaded with food. So now we've gone in there, we've heard a little bit of the conversation, and then now we're leaving. I'm not going to spend any more time with Joseph and his brothers right now. The next one I want to go to is in 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And here, of course, is another very important story for us. And this story is King David. And King David wants to show some kindness to someone in the household of Jonathan. And so he starts to inquire from his servants. And he finds out that down in Lodibar, there's a man named Ziba. And Ziba is looking after a man named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was lame on both feet. But he was Jonathan's son. And so King David sends for him and gets Mephibosheth to come to the palace. In verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Okay, now we walk into the palace. We walk down that long corridor. We're escorted by the butler, and we happen to just get inside the dining room of King David's dining room. And there's a table. The king is going to sit there. He has a lot of other dignitaries sitting there. But I think in the middle, right there in front of the king, you've got Mephibosheth. Just a lowly little man from down in the country, lame on both feet, needs a little help to get to the table, but he's found favor in the eyes of the king. And it was because of Jonathan. He was showing him kindness because of Jonathan. Mephibosheth, we just heard what he thought. He wasn't really someone that should be at the king's table. Can you just kind of imagine the conversation that would take place? I'm sure that the king has control of the conversation, and he likely looked at Mephibosheth and said, How you doing? How's it been? You've had a long struggle. Things haven't been very well for you down in Lodibar. But here you are, and I want you to understand that you're going to eat continually at my table. You'll never worry again about what to eat and how much you're going to eat. And then I want to tell you a little bit about your father, Jonathan. And I want to tell you about our times together. I want to tell you about our friendships. I want to tell you about how much Jonathan really meant to me. And you're here today because of my love for your dad. I don't know about you, but we're not really very worthy either, are we? When we consider being brought into the house of the Lord, and sometimes we have the opportunity to sit at his table, and we're there because of another. We're there because of his son, the Lord Jesus. We're not worthy to be there. We have no right to be there. We're not fit to be there. But we're so thankful that God loved us, and he invited us to the table. So you can think about Mephibosheth a little bit if you want, and the dining room of King David, likely very luxurious, likely well decorated, likely anything and everything that anybody could ask to eat would be on that table, and lots of it. Mephibosheth never had to worry again about what he was going to eat. He was also given other blessings, but we're not going to take time to read those either. So there we have Mephibosheth. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to look at another table. We're going to go into Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're going to be dropping in now on a few dining rooms and tables where the Lord Jesus is going to be present himself. King David, in all his robes and his position, would have been an honor to be with him. It would have been kind of nice to have been there at the table with Joseph, but they're only earthly men. But now we're going to spend a little time in the New Testament. We're going to drop into a few dining rooms and observe a few tables where the Lord Jesus himself is present. This one is one of the most unexpected, I would think. Mark chapter 14, we're going to read verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Wow, the Lord Jesus is going to actually have a meal with a leper. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against him. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. And then down in verse 8, she hath done what she could. And she seemed to know about his burying. And that's what the indication is. So now we drop into another house. Not the palace. It's not the king. It's not Joseph with all his robes and his power and his servants. It's just Simon the leper. The Lord Jesus was prepared to eat with publicans and sinners. The Lord Jesus was willing to go into this home of Simon the leper. I believe in divine appointments. I don't know about you, but I do. The other day we were on the plane, and the plane had a mechanical problem, and we were sitting there waiting to see if we were going to be able to get out on that particular flight or not. And there was one of the stewardess that came by and wanted to know if there was anything she'd get for us. And she happened to hear us talking about Christian literature, and she said, you two must be Christians. And we said, yes, we are. And she said, well, I am too. And she said, I'm really enjoying a book right now, and it's the Lord trying to teach us to pray. And so there's a divine appointment. That little girl was kind of discouraged because she wasn't going to get home that night, and she had a Bible study the next day, and she was going to miss her Bible study. But we were able to give her a little word of encouragement, and we weren't able to get home that night either. So two discouraged people were able to encourage the little stewardess. So divine appointments. And I believe that the Lord Jesus was in Bethany for a reason. And I don't think that there was any accident that he went into Simon the leper's house. And I have no idea how Mary knew that he was there. But she had a mission to fulfill. And this likely cost her a year's wages. And she had this very precious ointment. And she came in and she anointed the body and the head of the Lord Jesus. And it was for his burying that we read in verse 8. We don't know what the conversation was. We don't know what was said. But we do know this. It was a very precious time. I don't know what Simon thought. But we do know that some of the disciples that happened to be there thought that this was a big waste, that Mary would come in and empty this container of ointment on this man called Jesus. So, think about that one for a minute. Why was he there? What was the conversation? Who got blessed? That woman Mary never thought that we'd be reading about her tonight. That wasn't why she did it. She did it out of love and compassion for the Savior. Okay, now we're going to look over at Luke. Luke chapter 19. And this is one of the ones that we're not told there was a table, but I really believe that there was a little time spent at the table. Luke chapter 19. And here's another divine appointment. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He was on a little trip. He was on a mission. There was someone there he wanted to meet. There was big crowds all around him. But he wasn't interested in the crowds. He was interested in the little man. And the little man was up the tree. And his name was Zacchaeus. I'm waiting to get home to heaven to meet Zacchaeus. I have a few questions I want to ask him. Number one, I want to know why he was up the tree. Number two, I want to know what they said when he was in the house. Because we read that, and I'm not going to take time to read the whole story, but we all know the story, and the Lord Jesus came to the very tree that Zacchaeus was sitting up there on the limb. All full of leaves. Zacchaeus was quiet. None of the crowd knew he was up there. The Lord Jesus knew he was up there. And when he came to that very tree, he looked up. And not only that, he even knew the guy's name. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. What are you doing up the tree? I want to talk to you. Not only that, I want to come home with you. I want to come to your house, Zacchaeus. And I think that one of the first things I like to do was pull up the chair to the table and sit down at the table. Zacchaeus, talk to me. How come you wanted to see me? What's the burdens of your heart? What questions do you have to ask? And he was going to ask the right questions to the right person to get the right answers. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Zacchaeus accepted the Savior that day. And he was a different man when he was at the house, around the table, with the Lord Jesus, than he was when he was going out to try to go up on the tree. So, another dining room, another table, another occasion. Who was there? We're not sure. We know two people were there, and that was the Lord Jesus and Zacchaeus. And they had their intimate time together. And Zacchaeus was given an opportunity to get all his questions answered. Now if you go over a little bit further to the next book, John chapter 12. I don't know about you, but I'm losing my appetite. I'm at all these tables. John chapter 12 and verse 1. And here's another table. And it's, I think, basically the same story as we read in Luke, but it just gives us a few more details. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, gives us when it was, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then we talk about Mary, who took the pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Another dining room, another table. A man that was raised from the dead was at the table. Huh. Isn't that different? The Lord Jesus was there. Mary was there. Martha was there. Martha was serving. I don't know what they served, but they had a meal together. You ever wonder what the conversation might have been? Lazarus, what was it like when you were on the other side of life? Are you happy you're back? Are you looking forward to going again? Well, let me share something with you, Lazarus. I want you to understand that I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be raised on the third day from the dead. Resurrection is important, you know. And we want you to understand that I'm going to go back to heaven. And you know what? You can come too. And so there was a conversation at that table. That would have been kind of a little different, wouldn't it? There was an assortment of people at the table with assorted interests. Martha was really interested in serving. Mary was interested in his words. Mary wanted to worship him. I don't think that she really worried whether she got anything to eat or not. She just wanted to spend time with the Lord Jesus, and she wanted to worship him. In another place it says that Mary had chosen the better part. Sometimes we put the wrong emphasis on the wrong places. Now if you go back to Luke chapter 22, we have another table. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. And we have the Lord Jesus with his disciples. Luke 22 and verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Another table. The Lord Jesus is there. He's the host. And you know any table is made special when the Lord is there. And he's the host. And then he had his disciples there with him. And it was the last Passover before he would go to the cross to suffer. There was no reason for any more Passovers after he went to Calvary. And he was there to talk to his own. And if you take the different accounts of this occasion, we'll find that the Lord had instructions for his disciples. He had things to tell them. And he had important issues to deal with. Do you ever wonder what the conversation was? Do you ever wonder what they said? Do you ever wonder what the questions would be from the 12 disciples? And then Judas goes out and he arranges to betray the Lord Jesus. And then we have the next part in verse 19 and 20 where the Lord institutes the Lord's Supper that we still keep today. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. Now that's what he really said to them. Don't you think that maybe the 11 that was left sitting at the table maybe had a few questions to ask? What do you mean this is your body that's bruised and broken? What do you mean this is your blood? Can you explain that to us? What is really the importance of all this? When's this going to happen anyway, Master? Tell us when this is going to happen. How's it going to take place? Oh, it's going to be in Jerusalem. Okay, it's going to be outside Jerusalem. It's going to be in Calvary, Mount Calvary. Yeah, okay. What's all this for anyway? Well, I came for a reason. I came into the world to die. I came into the world to purchase eternal redemption for sinners. And in order for me to do that, I have to be their substitute. And so I'm going to take the wrath and judgment that they deserved, and my blood's going to be shed to redeem them. And that's what this all means. Pretty quiet occasion, I think. I don't think that they had a whole lot more questions to ask him. I think that they were almost overwhelmed with the information that he had just given them. But they were made to understand what was really going to happen. In John 13, we have the story kind of told again, only it's told a little bit different. John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 13, and we're not going to take time to go into that one, but this is where he has the last Passover with them, and he happened to understand what was going on in their hearts. In this portion, that we're not told what they were thinking, but in John, we're told what they were thinking. They wanted to know who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, and the Lord happened to know what they were thinking. And so after supper is all over, the Lord takes a towel and he girds himself and he gets down and he washes the disciples' feet. What an occasion that might have been. The water was just the right temperature. The towel wasn't too coarse. And he likely spoke to each one of them as he washed their feet. And he likely gave them a personal, individual word of encouragement as to how they could walk and serve him and witness for him while he was gone. What an occasion that might have been. Let's just look over at the next one at Luke chapter 24, and my time's gone. But this is kind of another interesting story. This is the story of the two that were on the road to Emmaus. And this is after the crucifixion. And this is just after the resurrection. And you know the story. They were walking along the road. And all of a sudden, another traveler comes along. And he joins them. He joins the two walkers along the road. One of them is Cleopas. And they walk along the road. And the Lord Jesus explains to them, after they asked him a couple of questions and wanted to know if he didn't understand what had happened in the last few days. And their hearts were sad with what had happened and how that the Lord Jesus was treated. And he starts and he explains to them from the scriptures all the things concerning himself. And he walks along the road and he comes to where they live. And out in Emmaus. And he was going to keep on going, and then they asked him to come in. And they sit at the table. And there was a meal served. And the Lord Jesus gave thanks. And he broke the bread. And he passed the bread to them. And when they noticed his hands, he disappeared out of their sight. Do you ever think about what the conversation might have been at that table? Well, he was different, wasn't he? He was special, wasn't he? There was no man that knew the scriptures like him. There was no man that was so kind and so compassionate as him. How come he couldn't have stayed with us just a little longer? We had a few more questions to ask. But he had disappeared out of their sight. Another dining room, another table. A little opportunity to be with the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord Jesus is present. The Lord Jesus will spend time at our table. The Lord Jesus will answer our questions. He is our best friend. He's the one that we can talk to. He's the one that we can ask anything we might want. And he'll spend all the time we want at our table. He just has to be invited. So many times we're so busy in this world that we kind of try to shut him out. Or if we do get an opportunity to be with him, the time is so short. Let's buy up these opportunities and let's spend more time with him. And let's appreciate the occasions when we can have a time with him. So I trust that you've enjoyed our tour in the different homes, in the different cities, all across the country, different dining rooms, different tables, different guests at the table, different hosts at the table, different conversations, different circumstances. But in the last few that I left with you, the Lord was present, and the Lord is special. And when the Lord is invited to the table, no matter whether it's the kitchen table or your dining room table, then the table is special, because the Lord of heaven and earth is the host, and he's going to entertain, and we'll just be the guest. Well, there you have it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. But he also prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a table. Let's just close in prayer.